This is a replay of the Thursday night, May 8th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 big hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593. So, animals acting up in the Orlando area. What we have here is a fatal alligator attack by Lake Kissimmee near the mouth of Tiger Creek. This is a populated area. The victim was a woman in the company of a male companion at the time of the incident. Now, of course, nobody knows exactly what happens, but they're looking for a hungry alligator, or perhaps a well-fed alligator with her in its stomach. Emergency services were promptly alerted, and they responded quickly. This is Polk County, and they deployed a helicopter looking for the alligator in question and a bunch of boats and all that. Well, they located the woman's body floating in the water, which was subsequently retrieved by Florida Wildlife Conservation officers. Sadly, she was pronounced dead at the scene. But exactly what happens remains uncertain. Now, nobody's accusing anybody of anything yet, except maybe the alligator. The identity of all the individuals involved have not been released. The reasons behind the attack also under investigation. So what would contribute to this? Yeah, and was it as it was reported? So they're looking for an alligator, and they're hoping to find one, capture it, kill it, of course, and then see what's in its stomach. And in the meantime, attacks are on the rise, so beware. You just don't expect it as close in a town quite as that, but the analysis of what's in the alligator will be at the heart of determining how this woman actually died. There are increasing alligator encounters in the region. So bottom line, if you're in Florida, watch out for your safety around waterways, that's for sure. Now, on the other hand, when you get this kind of a call and you're a 911 operator, the first thing you think is, okay, so the caller is drinking. Well, not the case. This happened yesterday also in Florida, Osceola County. So now we're going a little bit north of Orlando, where they got actually several calls about a kangaroo hopping down the middle of the street. The origins of the kangaroo remain a mystery, but again, the Florida Wildlife Conservation Commission showed up after multiple reports by St. Cloud, and there's video, actually, the middle of Hickory Tree Road before going under a fence into some nearby farmland. What they're really wondering about is not where did it go, where did it come from? That's the question. They found it, by the way, examined by a veterinarian, found to be healthy and uninjured. Now taken to a licensed facility with experience caring for kangaroos. Yes, even in Florida. The owner of the animal has not yet been identified, nor is it known whether it's legal for the owner to have the animal, so we may never know. But in the meantime, yes, it wasn't better living through chemistry. It actually was a loose kangaroo in the Orlando area. You just never know. 888-876-5593 takes us to Eduardo in Tampa, who's kicking it off tonight. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening, Raleigh. Well, I'm I'm glad to say I haven't seen any animals like that, like a kangaroo or even an alligator or anything like that. Since I've been here,
you're unlikely to see the kangaroo, but sadly, you're increasingly likely to see the alligator. Watch out.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty safe. I mean, I'm over here by Carroll Wood.
I understand. It's not going to be on your block, but invariably you go out somewhere where there's water nearby. All I'm saying is be aware that the alligators are apparently feisty this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one on the news over here. I think it was Florida. Apparently she was trying to deliver a pizza, and the police were there before she got there, and they kind of alerted her, you don't want to go there because there's an unexpected visitor there.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, most of the attacks are stupid humans. They're swimming in areas where there are known alligators and things like that. But what's happening now, as development really continues into alligator habitats, to say the least, the alligators aren't necessarily leaving. So 96% of the attacks since 1948 occurred where people were engaging in some form of risky behavior. But as I say, as more subdevelopments are built in areas that used to be the Everglades, for instance, aggressive encounters on the rise.
Yeah. Well, this Sunday, my birthday is on Mother's Day.
Happy.
I'm gonna take Mom. Yeah, thank you. We're going to go to a nice restaurant. I think it's called Azteca de Oro in Wesley Chapel. I know they got one in Brandon, too.
All right. So good.
So,
that's very nice.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for Mother's Day. Yes, Azteca de Oro. You betcha. So supposedly authentic Mexican cuisine. And I guess you'll be the first one to tell us.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about it on Tuesday. Yeah. Hopefully the weather's going to cooperate up. We're supposed to get some heavy rain, but we'll see. I think Saturday we'll be fine if you're out during the day, but as you go later in the day, it might come down.
Well, Florida, as you well know, is known for its vibrant rain, shall we say. But the interesting thing is, unlike some other areas of the country, it doesn't last all day. You know, the skies open up, it rains for an hour or two, then it's
right.
Over. So as long as you're ready for that, you used to be around 4 in the afternoon on the Atlantic coast during the summer every day. It would just pour. It'd be sunny before, it's sunny after it, but it would have to pour at 4. So, but it clears up. I had a friend who was from Miami visiting me once in Nashville. And after about 3 hours, he said, well, I'm waiting for the rain to stop. I said, well, that'll probably be tomorrow. And he looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I said, no, it doesn't work the way it does in Florida. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it all
I got a request here.
Do you? What is it?
I don't know if this one, if anybody's mentioned this before.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading on Wikipedia, and it was unfortunate because apparently his daughter had died from some criminal. I think it was like a murder, Alvin Bishop.
Okay. Well.
The song is called Fooled Around and Fell in Love. I heard it, I think I was outside today, and I heard this song, and then I looked it up on Wikipedia, and I saw the unfortunate story about that.
Yeah, that was about his only hit, and it's Elvin, by the way, E-L-V-I-N, but he had a few others that were he had a nice juke joint jump and things like that, but I'll be happy to
play. He has a little bit of blues, doesn't he? On there?
Well,
that's some of his songs.
You know, he's an interesting guy all the way around. But the big hit, of course, was Fooled Around and Fall in Love. He's in his mid-80s now, I think. And so, sure, he was originally, he's a, you know, Los Angeles guy, Glendale, California. He was born, but I think he grew up in Chicago. So
Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
Hyde Park, yeah.
So that's the deal. And, of course, when he was, just out of high school, he met Paul Butterfield in the neighborhood in mm-hmm. Hyde Park, and so he joined Butterfield's blues band and all that. And originally he was Paul Butterfield's only guitarist, but then Mike Bloomfield joined later. So, So you betcha. And he sat in with the Grateful Dead, and he worked with Al Cooper and all that kind of stuff, and
okay.
You know, all sorts of things. But like I say, it's funny how, you know, what will hit and what won't. And it wasn't until I Fooled Around and Fell in Love that he ever had a top 40 hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, he's actually immortalized in a Charlie Daniels song. I don't remember the song anymore, but he is. Elvin Bishop sitting on a bale of hay. He ain't good looking, but he sure can play. So, yeah.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, I'll tell you about how it went over the weekend.
Good luck. Enjoy dinner. All right.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So,
okay.
Yes, it is Mother's Day this Monday, and I guess most people around me aren't mothers and no longer have mothers who are alive. So when a friend of mine sent an email saying, well, I'm not going to my son's for Mother's Day, I'm like, well, when's Mother's Day? And I looked, I said, oh, my God, it's Sunday. So this is your out of it host. Yeah, I know nothing. I just merrily go along. But sure, we can play Fooled Around and Fell in Love. Now, last night, I promised I'd play Moms Mabley, and I will, but I forget who I was going to play it for. And so if it's you, well, be listening. And I also have one request that I'm behind Bill Withers' Lean on Me, and that was for Herb. But other than that, I think I'm caught up, so that'll give me a chance to play whatever's on my mind, unless you come up with something else. 888-876-5593 right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, 1975. That was the year for Evelyn Bishop on Capricorn. Of course, that was that Allman Brothers connection of Fooled Around and Fell in Love. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, why didn't he have another hit? Well, it's not from a lack of releases. Capricorn released 9 singles on him in 1975. Now, when you follow Fooled Around and Fell in Love with Calling All Cows, maybe there's a problem. Yeah, so that was obviously not memorable. It was the second release, though, right after Fooled Around Fell in Love. But a couple releases later in 75, I thought they came up with a record that was actually better than Fooled Around and Fell in Love. But Sure Feels Good didn't do much either. Oh, I liked it. deal of Elvin Bishop Records. For Eduardo, there you have it. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Like I say, released 9 on Capricorn in 1 year alone. I think I've got them all. And then I think 76, they released 3 or 4 more and a couple in 77. And then that was sort of it. Yeah, really, all the way around. Later, much later, he was on Alligator, which, you know, released all sorts of esoteric stuff for a couple of singles. And that's the end of the story. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And that is going to take us to Tubby. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Tubby.
Raleigh, how are you?
I'm here. How about you?
Look, I know the moment good. Okay, I called early tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to Linda. Hey, Linda. Okay.
All right.
Now, Randy's was Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes.
Question.
Yes, it was. Okay. It was originally an appliance store, and he was selling records on the side. And then the mail order records did so well on WLAC. Randy's Record Shop was there, and it lasted. I think the last record I went in and bought there was Spider Jivin' in 1975. But that place was still around in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I used to pick them up late at night. Okay, also, that guy, I want to go back. I was asking you about the name of this guy from public radio that had the Latin show on Saturday night. I think it was 9 to 12. Do you remember who that was?
It was just Chicago. Yeah, but was that just Chicago only, right?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah. It was back in those days.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it's cool. If it come up one day, I thought you might. You know how to finagle and research stuff.
Oh, sure.
If you ever can come up with these names. I got a thing, they're all packed away, a lot of these cassettes, all the cassette parts. VHS are out. Okay, the next question, I do have a music selection too. Look, okay, now, cleaning the heads of the VHS and the cassette player. I have those old-fashioned little kits with the bottle with the liquid in it. I just, when I called it, I told her to take my car. Anyway, I told him I'm going to ask you, I don't know, what do you do, squeeze some of that liquid on somewhere?
No.
I didn't know how to do
what
to
is
clean
it?
The tape.
What, oh, you're trying to clean VHS tapes?
And cassette tape. Yeah, you know how you sometimes...
Are you trying to clean the tapes or the tape heads?
The tape, yeah, whatever you clean. It's the, I got the little package here, it's got the little bottle. There's Maxell on it, got the little bottle in
there. Yeah, yeah. What you would normally do is take a, you know, put that on the tip of, say, a long Q-tip and clean the head. You're not cleaning the tape, you're cleaning the head.
Right, but the head is the...
It'll look like a shiny thing when you... I don't know how to describe a tape head, but when you open, you know, you hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and I will walk you through this after the news. Don't go away. All right, so we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Has anybody seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems a good die young. I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems a good die young. I just looked around and he was gone.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I don't remember who we were talking with about Mom's Mabley, but I said, sure, I'll play Abraham Martin and John for you. 1969 on Mercury, and absolutely, it charted. All right, so, yeah, we did talk quite a lot about Mom's Mabley, who, of course, an icon of sorts going back to the vaudeville days. So we've got Tubby in Chicago, who we're talking to about head cleaning here. And you sparked a little argument between John and me here. But firstly, what John says, so I'm going to give you his advice first. He says, the hell with what you're doing. Just go out and get a VHS tape that cleans the heads. You can do that. Oh. And they make them, by the way, they make them wet. They make them dry. Some just clean the three heads. Some also clean the pinch rollers, those little rubber rollers, and the capstan. And it'd be nice to do all three. But if you wanted to, and you could see inside it when you can see, you know, if you can, the shiny things are probably the tape heads. Obviously, the things that are rubber are the pinch rollers. Now, you can use alcohol on anything but the pinch rollers. Some people say you can use alcohol on pinch rollers. They're dead wrong because they'll dry out. So you don't want to do that. And the Maxell stuff you're talking about is sort of just like alcohol. That's all you're doing. So you can do it yourself. And that's the way I do it. I do it all the time. But John says much easier to just go get a VHS head cleaner tape.
Okay.
So,
Now,
if you're going to do that, look for one that also cleans the capstan and the pinch rollers.
Okay, you're getting deep. I know it. Yeah, I was so smart. See, that's why I'm so smart. Because when I get my information, I get it from people who already know what they're really talking about. Okay, now, that guy, you know that guy that Latin guy, you show.
Yeah,
I remember. I've got to tell you. You know, I've got these little stories. Well, one night I didn't get the end of the taping right away, so the radio was still playing, and the next show came on, and it was called Blues Before Midnight. I knew that somebody might have listened to that show, so they might know who my guy was on WBEZ who did the Latin show right before
now,
it was Saturday night. Okay,
was it Latin Explosion? Was that the name of it? Okay.
So, I can't even think of that right now.
Okay.
I haven't written
What years? Tell me about what years this was on.
Probably the 80s.
Okay. All right.
80s.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's see what we can get.
While we're talking, I might, the guy's name, like I tell you the name of this song that came on while I was, when I couldn't get to the player to do my cueing. Guess what the name of the song was? Can't find the keyhole blues.
Just perfect.
That was the name of the song that he was, when he played the song, you know, his first song. And he said, and that was Can't Find the Keyhole Blues.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping somebody listening will know what this was in the 80s.
Can't think of his name. Because Blues Before Sunrise came on.
Well, now,
right,
wait a
after
minute. Blues Before Sunrise was on WBEZ.
Right. And it came on right after my show.
Okay, and it was on it was on BEZ? Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, because I know that was on BEZ. Okay. So now we've got the call letters, so this might help.
Exactly. Right. I just can't think of it. How you know something like in your head so good and you just can't think of it? That's what this is.
Oh, absolutely. I know, and then it keeps you up. Absolutely. All right, so here we go. Tropical Nights. The show was called Tropical Nights. It says on WBEZ it aired before the long-running Blues Before Midnight.
What was the man's name?
Well, that's what we're gonna have to find
I don't think that don't sound right.
Okay, we're gonna find out who hosted it.
Now, if you say his name, I will know. If
right,
that's
exactly,
right.
Exactly. So we're gonna.
That doesn't sound right at all.
No. So, well, we know Blues in the Night is right. So we've got. Mm-hmm. Now that's interesting. It Blues Before Midnight. Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, we'll keep looking. It's going to up here sooner or later.
Okay. Let me go back to my list so you can get to some other people. Okay, clean my ass, Linda, shout out. Okay, first I was told, okay, for all the people that I be talking about, philosophy, first thing for Jim James, you know, Jim, you know, can't see, he's having trouble in trying to do that stuff. When I told him, encourage him to hang in there, that's like a cardinal rule. You just got to make up your mind that you ain't going to never give up. Yeah. I don't care what happens. You have to wait till the next day and get up because you're going to feel different regardless. You might feel worse, but you might feel better. And I just made some notes. The breakthroughs are very encouraging. I get very frustrated. That's why I've been, like I told you, I've gone to these computer places. Ain't nobody really breakthrough. Like right now, I'm trying to get Zelle on my phone, okay? Mm-hmm. And I got to go to the bank because I don't know what I'm doing, okay? I have learned to have patience with myself, okay?
Yeah.
If you attempt something one day, you got to come back at another time. It's amazing about us humans how we can just come back at another time and, bam, it just happens, okay? And also, traction, when you develop traction in one area, and it's not what you're really focusing on specifically, traction in one area, like getting your grocery shopping done or cooking a good meal, is very encouraging to your life, okay? And thriving is wonderful. So I got three rules that I work on, and I'm kind of stuck between survival and stabilizing. I try to survive first. I have to take care of myself, and then I try to stabilize. And then hopefully one day I can feel like I've thrived. I've written my book. I can feel like I've gotten something to turn in. You know, accomplish that I've set out to do. I wish everybody the best. I love you guys. I love that we're out here trying to reach out and help each other. Ruth, all y'all, all you folks, I hear all your names. I just can't keep up with everybody. I want you the best. Just hang in there, okay? Y'all have a nice weekend. I love you.
Well, that's great, Tubby. Thank you so much, and I will not give up. But hang on a minute, because Leslie might know the name of this host, so don't go away. All right, so we're going to find out here, because you see what I'm able to do now. I say Blues Before Sunrise. I can find Steve Cushing, and I'm trying to figure out what's on before it. But it looks like Leslie might know. So, all right, Leslie, do you know?
Well, I'm thinking the show was called The Sounds of Brazil, and the host was Scott Adams.
Wow, so it wouldn't be Latin, it would be that, you know, that's so weird you say that, because SOB, yeah. Sounds of Brazil, was big in the 80s, a lot of station ran that, and it was Scott,
yes.
Scott Adams?
Yes, that's what I saw, and I remember listening to that. It shows in the 90s, possibly,
okay.
Bossa Nova, New Bossa Groove, Top New Music, Brazilian Jazz.
Now, I think that might have been national. That's the only thing about that. I'm not sure. Because SOB, Sounds of Brazil, that was a lot of stations. But that's I'm going to ask her right now, and thank you for that.
Okay, you're
appreciate
welcome.
Appreciate it. All right, so maybe that's a contender. We'll find out. All right, so we say goodbye to Leslie, and a big thanks for calling. And so, Tubby, is it SOB, Sounds of Brazil?
No, it wasn't the name either. That's Scott Adams. Way out of place. But let me ask you a question. Did you know who Lois Weisberg was?
Who?
Lois Weisberg.
Just the name.
Yeah, she was over Cultural Affairs. That Daily made an office for Office of Cultural Affairs. She had all those cows all over the city of Chicago.
Right.
But before then, Office of Special Events, and she really put it, I hope they don't let that deteriorate. I was sitting there with some people from Sweden or somewhere one night, and it was just when they did it at the Petula Bastion, and it was so wonderful. You just walk in, everybody's chilling, and it was like it had become a world-class stage, and they did it. They were really punctual. You knew when you came in that the people were going to play, you know, when they set it on the schedule. They had the programs and everything, and now I just hope, you know, they got somebody new, and I go down there. I can't even get a printed program anymore before the fest, so I know what I'm doing and where I'm going.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chicago is a special place. Well, Lois was somebody's. I have said for Lois, she was somebody special, okay?
Yeah.
God bless her soul. Because she's like you. When you make up your mind where you're at, what you're doing, what you like, and what you don't like, it's great. Love you.
All right. God thanks, bless. Tubby. Keep listening. We'll try and find it. All right. Good deal.
Bye.
Yeah, and I'm counting on you guys, because like I say, what I was hoping for was to just find a old WBEZ program lineup, you know, how sometimes they have with the guides, you know, like from, say, 1984, but I can't. I'm looking. And, of course, you know, Steve Cushing, now we know about Blues Before Sunrise, that's all over the place, but I don't see anything that says, and on before it was a Latin show, so what would that be? So Stacy from Algonquin might have a guess on that. And I think it was Robert from Stickney who won a Mom's Mabley. So we'll talk about that too, all coming up on WGN Radio. That so it took me a couple days, but there you go. Her Bill Withers, who got a late start musically, I think he was in his 30s. He was an aviation mechanic at Lockheed and released an album, I think, in 1971, but then of course hit big in 72 with Lean on Me. And yeah, I know Booker T. Jones, as in Booker T. and the MGs, worked with him on a lot of records, as well as several other well-known Memphis musicians. But yeah, LA all the way, and Sussex distributed by Buddha, right? But in some countries it was out on A&M. All right, now, I think it was Robert and Stickney who, in fact, wanted Mom's Mabley, and you got her.
Oh, yeah, I'm the one that called in last night, and I was very amazed when, I think it was you that mentioned that she covered Abraham Martin and John. Yeah. So it was really something to hear the serious side of. Yeah. Of her, you know, because I remember her as a comedian.
Of course.
Yeah.
So there
yeah.
you have it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you heard it.
Oh, yeah. And just one more thing. They say that one of the hardest parts of show business is to do stand-up comedy. They either like you or they'll boo you off the stage. There's no middle ground, they say.
That's pretty much true. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Yeah. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay, Robert.
Right.
Bye-bye
now. So Robert checked in, and now I know. He wanted to hear Mom's Mabley. Okay, and he did. Excellent. Just excellent. Okay, Stacy, do you know the show? Stacy in Algonquin, welcome to WGN Radio. So who is it?
Hi, Robbie. Sometimes, you know, when I'm up late, the show after yours is...
Yeah, that's the thing from... That's the thing from WABC. That has nothing to do with this.
Oh, so you don't want the name of The Other Side of Midnight?
No, don't want that at all. Has nothing to do with that. What I'm looking for was a mid-80s show, Latin music, that came on before Blues Before Sunrise on WBEZ.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything on the radio today.
Oh, well, I've got you. Did you play... My request?
You know, I'm so glad you called back, because I think I have lost them all. Let me look. Let's see. Oh, wait, no, I see, Patsy Cline. I played you the Johnny Cash. I'll get you your Patsy Cline, and I'll get you your James Brown, and probably your Delphonics, and I don't know about Lou Rawls. So, yeah, I'll get them.
Okay. I think I missed one, because sometimes I fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, well, Johnny Cash last night, Don't Take Your Guns to Town.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I've been doing so much stuff, Raleigh.
Well, sleep is sacred. That's much better than listening to the radio. Get as much as you can.
Okay. Right. Well, you and Johnny have a good weekend.
You too.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, right, to somebody out there. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. So, 888-876-5593, and Tubby called back. So, okay, Tubby.
All right. No, I didn't think it was that. I tried to open up that that Ottoman thing. It has got the story boxes on top. I said, I ain't going to try to lift it to peak. Look, I wanted to thank you. I didn't thank you properly.
Oh, yes.
And I apologize.
Oh, yes, you did. Yeah.
And also, John, tell John, thank you. He said some personal messages on the way. John, say your call. Anyway, look, God bless you. Have a good night. Appreciate you.
Well, always good to hear from you. And just calling is thanks enough for me. So great to hear from you. Thanks, Tubby.
Okay, bye. Right.
Okay, bye. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm thinking that John's probably right on that, that the tape that will clean the heads without you doing anything else is the way to go on that. All right. You know, not me. I got to have my isopropyl alcohol. And, yeah, again, not for the pinch rollers. All right, so with that warning, Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes. I just wanted to tell, I didn't really, you know, I didn't know what to call about, but anyhow, the food inflation doesn't really affect me. I don't, you know, I mean, that's one reason I stayed in the neighborhood. You know, the one grocery store, has, Sara Lee pound cake, the large one, $1.99, pork tenderloin, $1.99 a pound.
I hate to say it, Cindy, but what the hell are we talking about?
Well, everyone is complaining about food inflation. I don't even know if it doesn't affect me.
Oh, well, food is inflated. John today went and decided that he wanted to buy me a small apple pie, which was so thoughtful. And I looked at the price of the small apple pie. I said, $13.99? I'm going to feel guilty eating it. So, yeah, everything's inflated.
Yeah.
I mean, look at you mentioned Sara Lee or any of that. Look at the price of these TV dinners there. And I know they don't call them that anymore, but I'm a fossil. But bottom line is it's outrageous. You know, when you're paying $13 for a frozen pizza and it's not even big, no, everything's gone up. If it hasn't affected you, good luck. But if you're eating Sara Lee, it's a lot more today than it was.
Well, it's only $1.90. They've had it on sale about 2 months, $1.99.
Okay, well, very good. Very good. If you're getting it at that price and you're happy with it, life is passing you by in a very positive way. You're not noticing. Good for you.
All right. There's one more thing.
Well, hold on. You got no one more thing has to hold on, and we'll talk about it after the news. We've got two more hours to do that, hopefully with you on WGN Radio.
I've got your picture that you gave to me, and it's signed with love, just like it used to be. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got your picture, she's got you. I've got the records that we used to share, and they still sound the same as when you were here. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got the records, she's got you. I've got your memory, or has it got me? I really don't know, but I know it won't last. your class ring that proved you cared, and it still looks the same as when you gave it, dear. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got these little things.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's for Stacy. There's her Patsy Cline. That record makes me laugh every time I see it, because there's a well-known parody. It's been done in a lot of places, and it's by a lot of people. It's truly hilarious. You can probably look it up on YouTube. Just look for Patsy Cline lip sync of She's Got You, and it'll probably come out. And yes, but a fine record it was too, on Decca in 1962. So that certainly qualifies for Patsy Cline for Stacy. All right, so back to Cindy in Chicago and her cheap food. All right, so good for you, Cindy. You're eating cheaply. That's very nice.
But then anyhow, I have a more serious issue that I want to talk to you about. It's, you know, the Albert side of the family. You know, this cousin I have, Lisa, I won't use her name, the one who had cancer. She has a 16-year-old daughter. And her cousin that she lives with is moving out, so she's going to be short for the rent. She told me that she's going to let, she hasn't made up her mind yet if her daughter's boyfriend is going to move in and help with the rent. But the thing is, he just turned 18. I mean, I can't even say it. He just turned 18 and her daughter just turned 16 and is still in high school.
And
isn't
what?
That a decent,
and what are they expecting?
Him to help with the rent.
Well, not the 16. Wait a minute. Not the 16-year-old.
He's 18.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, you said he's got a 16-year-old sister.
No. Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Oh, God, great. I think that's illegal. But anyway, here's the deal. So he's 18 years old. He's graduated from high school, correct?
I think he's graduating this year.
Okay, and his parents are saying pay rent or get out.
No, I don't think so.
All right, well then what's the problem?
I get my cousin Lisa, her daughter is 16.
Oh God, help me.
And the mother wants the boyfriend to move in and help a rent.
Well, this might be the time someone makes a call to Child Protective Services. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But you know, I was so mad. I was going to change my trust and will and everything, and was just going to be through. I mean, because I just got, you know, I texted her real nice that she has plenty of people to help her move to a one bedroom. And the girl could sleep on a roll-up couch.
All I can say is you've got enough trouble without getting involved in any of this. Just wish them the best, and that's it. Change your phone number if you have to.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. Right. They all say you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. Well, you can choose to stop talking to the relatives. Yeah, nice things to say with Mother's Day coming up Sunday. But, all right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I was sitting here looking at these Patsy Cline spoofs, and now there's literally dozens of people doing it, but some better than others. But it's the very first one was hilarious, and that's not online, of course, because too early for that. All right, so if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Otherwise, I'll just come up with more news of the weird. God knows we don't run out of that on WGN Radio.
Clapping and your fingers start to popping and your feet start to moving around. And if you start to swing and sway when a band starts to play a real cool and way out sound. And
if you get the can't help it, then you can't sit down. You feel like you gotta move around.
Need a shot of rhythm and blues.
With just a little rock and roll on the side, just for good measure.
Need a pair of dancing shoes.
With your lover by your side, then you know you're gonna have a lot of pleasure. Don't you worry about a thing. If you start to dance and sing, and chill bumps come up on you. And when that rhythm finally hits you, and the beat gets you too, well, here's the thing for you to do. Side, then you know you're gonna have a lot of pleasure. Don't you worry about a thing if you start to dance and sing.
WGN Radio. Wow, James. That, of course, is Arthur Alexander, late and great. And that's the flip of You Better Move On, A Shot of Rhythm and Blues. He didn't write it, but he certainly recorded it. It became huge in Great Britain. Yeah, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean, everybody in Liverpool recorded it and all that. Nobody here stateside ever heard it, but that's the original. On Dot, of course. And I loved Arthur Alexander. I thought he was just terrific. And he was born in 1940 this weekend, May 10th, 1940. And yeah. Did a lot of stuff, and you know he had stopped singing for a while and was doing a number of non-music things, and then he was signed to a new contract and he went to Nashville and he was just doing this new band and a showcase, and died 3 days later of a heart attack at 93. Yeah, he was only 53 years old, but yeah. He wrote, of course, Every Day I Have to Cry Some, but the first recording of that wasn't Arthur Alexander. He didn't do it for over a decade. It was Steve Alamo, and then the Bee Gees covered it, but we'll leave that where it is. All right, now, Tubby says she remembered, so the only thing I could find was Victor Parra doing Mambo Express, and that's probably wrong, but okay, Tubby, so who is it?
You got it right there, and see, that's why I was asking you, because I know you know how to come up with that stuff.
Yeah, Victor Parra, Mambo Express, and
Victor Parra.
Yeah.
And I was in the kitchen, and the name just popped in my head, and that's why those other names, you see how they were just so different?
Right.
That's why I said when you heard it. Oh, Lord, we got it, Victor Parra.
Yeah.
Mambo Express.
Mambo Express. And, you know, one of the things throwing me is that it wasn't on Saturday nights on BEZ. It was when he changed stations. And he went to DCB after a while. So it was Saturday morning on BEZ. But anyway, Mambo Express, and sadly, he died a couple of years ago, as you probably know.
I just saw that. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Good deal.
Get in touch with me. I'll get it over to you. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Goodbye. All right. So there we have it. Yeah, that's what I came up with on Mambo Express, which was wonderful when it hit the airwaves on WBEZ. Basically, most of Chicago had never heard the stuff he was playing, Afro-Cuban jazz, Latin jazz, and he did that for years. He was on the air for over 30 years. So there you go. Rest in peace. So yeah, and after WBEZ, he was on DCB as of 2004 and signed off for the final time 2017. So Victor Parra, okay. So 888-876-5593. Mystery solved. Glad to hear it. All right, so we've got Art in Davenport. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's going on, Art?
How are you, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
Now, Dad, you're quite a counselor, you know that?
I don't know about that, but yeah, so what's up?
I talked to my sister about that little red motorbike.
Yeah, what'd she say?
Now, she says the disc jockey in Des Moines, it was his song in 1966, what she thinks.
That the jock recorded it? Do we know, was it on KIOA? Do we know who the jock was?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have any idea. I think it's one of his songs.
Or maybe on KSO.
Maybe he was into music. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, now I'll
look. She lived.
What?
She lived in Ames, Iowa, so it might have been a radio station closer. I don't know.
Well, Des Moines sounds more likely than Ames, but yeah, KIOA or lots of KSO maybe. Lots of possibilities there. I'll, I have no idea, but I'll certainly try to look.
Okay, another thing, Raleigh, I was wondering, Stacy had that friend that was going in recovery. You know, I'm in recovery, and I was wondering, did you hear her anything? Is she doing any better? Or?
I think so, but I have not heard lately.
Oh, okay.
So, but good for you. So how long has it been?
10 years.
10 years. Wow. All right. That's quite the accomplishment. And that's 10 years10 years of one day at a time.
Oh, of course. Yep. Yeah. It sure is.
Yeah. And on bad days, it's more like 1 hour at a time.
Yeah. Sometimes a minute you got to sit down and just start the day over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good for you.
Did you hear? Did you hear about that little wiener dog that was lost for 2 years in the woods? And I don't know where it was at. He only weighed 9 pounds. He's a little miniature wiener dog. And when they found him, he weighed 28 pounds.
Wow.
It was in the news somewhere.
I think that was the Australia story. He was lost on Kangaroo Island for 18 months. And they named the dog Valerie, a miniature dachshund, and she's now reunited. And her owners say, wagging her tail, making her little happy sounds, wiggling around with joy. So, yeah, wouldn't it be interesting to see what she did for 18 months?
Well, I know how the dog gained weight. There was a Wiener Schnitzel nearby.
Yeah, so she weighed 6 pounds more while she was missing. That really makes you wonder what her owners were feeding her.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, obviously they need to rethink dog food. All right, good deal, thanks. Something. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye.
All right, so yeah, it's interesting how things like that happen, and you read about that occasionally, dogs and cats, too, were missing for, a couple of years in some cases, and they find their way back. In this case, the dog was rescued by a wildlife organization that trapped her, and apparently they got her back, but so it isn't like she walked home. But nonetheless, 6 pounds more than when she went missing. Yeah, got to find out what dog food she was eating. Not the owners, so that you don't have any of that. All right, so 888-876-5593. All right, so we'll have Ruth and Gurney. You got 3 or 4 minutes here, and if the news interrupts you, we'll hold you over. But just be succinct. Don't run off on tangents.
Well, I'm not too sure what differentiates between running off on tangents or the other, but I thought you stated that whatever was on our mind, we could bring it up as a conversation.
Absolutely you can, but don't diverge into 4 other subjects. Stick to the point.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try 1 minute on one and see if I can stretch it to the other one, which was the big mistake.
Okay,
this is the first one. I opened up a fortune cookie. And it said, love makes ordinary things extraordinary. So the last fortune cookie that I made a comment down onto the radio got into the St. Raphael the Archangel's Bulletin for Easter Sunday. And it was, I count my blessings, the ones I love, plus a healing request for myself. So that will be interesting, along with all my other healing requests through St. Raphael, for the blind. But now, back to the Churchill Downs Derby, the horse derby. I've been fascinated with the names of horses, and I usually get it from the library every year. But this year I heard it on the radio, WGN, and I, of course, didn't maintain all of the 20 horses and listened to the ones that I thought were most interesting. Titanic was the name of a horse. I thought that was unique. But then when they did Journalism and Sovereignty, those two horses I realized were going to win. And I couldn't ask anyone. There wasn't anyone available to go to the OTB in Waukegan and place a bet. And so I had to go through that Friday knowing that those two horses were going to win, and I couldn't put down $2 or $20.
Well, now, I thought, I thought Sovereignty was the winner.
That's what I said, okay. Sovereignty.
Sovereignty, yes, was the winner, yes. With Journalism.
Journalism was the second.
Yes, and Bay's the third.
Was the second.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, the Journalism rang a bell for me because of having been a freelance human interest for Lake County Journal and columnist in House Beautiful magazine. So I thought Journalism, that's unique. But I didn't think it would make it even to the second place because Fourth Estate has been so odd lately, not as in the old days of the journalism, especially Chicago journalism. So
let me interrupt and say Journalism had about the best odds of any of those horses running. It was a 3-1.
Well, the thing of it is just because I have a liking for something doesn't mean that that's the one that's going to win.
Yes.
However, I felt that's the one I would have liked for because of the word and what it exemplified. So, but the Sovereignty, I felt really strong that that one would win the number one prize.
Uh-huh.
So, couldn't get anywhere and get anybody to do the bet for me. And once before, this happened to me with a horse named Golden Mystery. Someone called the WLIP and said that horse was going to win. And I go, yep, here's the bell ringing again. That horse will definitely win. So I wanted to bet $20, and I knew absolutely nothing, and I tried to find out. I did call someone in Plainfield.
Well, hang on a minute. All right, we're going to leave you right there looking around. We'll go to the news, and we'll pick it up in moments here on WGN Radio.
This land of broken dreams, I have visions of many things, but happiness is just an illusion, filled with sadness and confusion. What becomes of the broken hearted who had love that's now departed?
Yes, 89 he would have turned yesterday. Sadly died at 78 in Las Vegas in 2014. He was in intensive care. That was released. No cause of death was ever released on him. And, of course, he and his bad boy brother, David, were singing with the Dixie Nightingales and then were at Motown. In fact, Jimmy was doing session work, and he was about to join the Temptations when Elbridge Bryant left. And Motown auditioned him, but wound up hiring his brother, David, instead. Yeah, Jimmy, of course, had some solo recordings, and the best of which, yeah, and a biggest hit, too. Usually they're not the same thing, but in this case they are. What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, 1966 on Soul. And, of course, later he moved to the UK and did very well in Northern Soul. So, 888-876-5593. David is in Muskegon. What's up tonight, David?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of something. Jim was talking about the iPhones. You know, over in South Africa, I was talking with a person that works for Amazon, in Amazon's disability customer service. You know, their cell phones over there, they don't have to be set up like they have to be for a totally blind person in the United States. Over there, they're automatically, when you buy them, are set up. So all you have to do is tell that cell phone what to do, and it does it. And here, see, it's an unregulated market.
But by the way, I would disagree with that. A lot of the South American MVNOs, the carriers, provide support for setting up accessibility, but I have never heard what you're saying. In fact, while you were talking, I just looked it up as well, and it backed me up that there isn't a situation where it's automatically set up.
Because South Africa, this lady, she was from South Africa, and customer service for people with disabilities, she was saying the cell phones and the tablets, your iPads, are already set up.
Well, again, I assume if you buy something from a specific retailer, they can set it up any way they want. Of course, if it's an iPhone, it's an iPhone. But in general, no, there's no rule of thumb that says they have better accessibility than we do.
Okay, so she was kind of given the wrong information?
I have no idea. I don't know who she is or anything about her. All I know is that there really isn't much of a difference.
Okay, because you looked it up in South Africa.
Yeah.
The way their phones are.
Well, no, remember, whether it's their phones, you're still, when you're talking an iPhone, you're talking about an iOS operating system. It doesn't matter if you're in South Africa.
Yes, because she was saying they had different companies
we
do here.
iPhones are only made by Apple, number one,
okay.
Period. No one else makes iPhones anywhere in the world. As far as Androids, many, many, many companies make Androids. And, of course, the underlying operating system is owned by Google. So that's going to be the same no matter where you are.
Okay, in the world.
Yes, of course. There's no such thing as an operating system that only counts for South Africa.
Yeah, because she was saying that they were already set up there.
Well, again, some retailer may set them up the same way that here you might buy Blind Shell, which is a phone that we were talking about the other night with Debbie and Raleigh. There are several phones you can get that are set up, but that's not the operating system that's setting it up or the country. It's the marketer. It's whoever's selling the phones.
Okay, it's not. Because she was saying it was regulated by the government.
No, it's regulated by the government here, too, but there's no regulation that says the phone out of the box has to be fully accessible.
Oh, yeah, I know, here in this country.
In any country.
Okay, I'm glad you're telling me this. I've learned.
Now, again, they're pretty darn close. Because like many of the things that we've talked about, like VoiceOver and, of course, Siri and so many other features, they're on the phone already. You don't have to add them as an app. They're there. You just have to use them.
Yes. I mean, you have to see to set it up for voice.
Well, in some cases, yes, and that's true. But if you went to a retailer selling you the phone, they could probably set it up for you in a heartbeat. But, you know, it might cost you a little more, but it can be done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah,
it
could be made where independently you would be able to set it up yourself.
Well, there's no mileage in that for them. The market's not big enough for that. And there's no way to mandate that because then it would cost everybody more money.
It's going to cost a little bit more.
No, for everybody possibly. If it was automatic. And, you're not going to raise the base price of the phone over that.
Yes. Because the company would pass that cost on to the customer.
Absolutely, including the customers who weren't going to use the service.
Yes, where it would be automatically set up so that when you got it out of the box,
right, but
you
it's,
could just turn it on and tell it what to do.
Yes, there's no country.
I mean, it's
there's
it
no
could
country
be done,
mandating.
Yes,
there's no country mandating that.
As yet. There's none.
No, there won't be.
You wouldn't have to rely on somebody that can see to set it up for you.
Yeah, but they're not going to go that far on accessibility.
Okay.
All right, they're just not, because that would increase the price of the phone for every customer. They're not going to do it. So with some help, you easily can set it up. And, you know, there are countries that have things like SIM card registration requirements, but certainly not what you're talking about is automatic accessibility. It just doesn't exist anywhere.
Now, what is the SIM card? Explain that to me.
Oh, God.
Accessibility.
Well, in terms of registration, many countries have laws that require that registering their SIM cards with a mobile operator must be done. In some cases, that's not even a law. Some cases maintain databases of device information, the IMEI numbers. But these are not things that dictate how the phone is set up or configured. You know, users still need to personalize their settings. So what I'm saying is there's variations in SIM card registration and IMEI for various reasons. So some governments do impose registration laws, but none of them impose the accessibility laws you're discussing.
Yes. The phones have to be registered with the government through the SIM card, but not the accessibility that I'm talking about where it's automatic.
Right.
You just put the card in, and it automatic would set it up.
It will not
they're
do.
Not
there's
go that far
they're
with it.
They're
so
never.
That
they're
anybody
never
could use it.
They're never going to do that.
Oh my!
And again,
yes.
I. By the way, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you that in the world of this, as long as they have accessibility features that somebody could help you set up, the idea of having them be automatic and then having to raise the price of the item, they're just not going to go there. It's not good business sense. You've got too small a market.
Okay, because I know, in population in the United States, totally blind people are 1% of the population.
Well, and who's going to mandate a product be for 1% of the population that the other 99% have to pay for something they don't use or want?
Well, you've got a point there. Because everybody actually, it seems like, could use this.
No, but nobody will. They don't want to. They don't have to. Now, here is the bottom line to this again, that once you get someone to help you set this up, you don't need their help after that. You're on your own. You're fine.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking about, you know, something that can take you a very minor amount of inconvenience to set up, and after that, you're on your own. Why would you want to do something that would raise the price of the phone to everybody?
You got a point there. You got a very good point. Why would I want to do it? So I could do it independently. I wouldn't have to ask.
Well, I know. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, it's a small price to pay. Not financial, but it's a small price to pay to have somebody help you set it up, and then you're done.
Yeah, that's true. A small price to pay.
Yeah, and so you just do it.
Set it up for
there,
me.
There are so many other things that should happen. I mean, if you want to start talking about the accessibility world, I think it's criminal that our government doesn't have money that is able to be determined by someone who can't see it what the increment is, but we don't. So,
with paper money, you're right.
That's right, and that's what I'm talking. So there are so many things ahead of what you're discussing that, as far as I'm concerned,
you're right on target there, because that is another thing. Like with paper money, there's no way unless somebody tells you what it is.
Or
wait a minute, denomination of bills.
Wait, or your iPhone can do that. There's apps that will do that for you. It'll identify the money. But what I'm saying is you shouldn't need an iPhone for that. This is something the government should have done long ago, was either change the shape, the size, or put, you know, Braille-like raised, tactile features. They should do something. But the fact that they don't, you're talking about your phone, you have to have somebody help you set it up one time? Oh, man, if that's the worst of your worries, you got no worries.
Yeah, you got a point there, because, you know, I was thinking about this, too, with, your dollar bills, your fives, and your tens, instead of, having to rely on somebody when you're in the bank.
Yeah, right.
Telling you which ones are which.
Right, exactly.
That should be mandated, ones be of one shape, your fives of another.
That's right.
And your tens, that they're going to print paper money. Right. Now, if they're going to use coins, that's a little different.
Well, they're not. They're not. You can forget about that. So, of course, yes, many things could have been done all along the way, but I bring that up as an obvious example to tell you that what you're trying to trumpet here about the phone should be set up for everybody to use out of the box, oh, man, that's so far down on the list, don't even have the conversation.
Huh. Wow.
All right. Well,
okay,
happy to help.
I see your point that for you, that is, you know, most people, I guess, it's down on the list. But to me, living independently,
well, that's absolutely right. But we're again talking about one time somebody can set it up for you totally in less than an hour, easily, if they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And then you're done for life, for the life of that phone. Believe
yes,
me,
or
that's
iPad.
Yeah, that or pad. That's not so much of an imposition. I'm not.
Yeah, because I've had these iPads. I've had them set up, and then it get, you know, and the voice would stop on it, and I'd have to get it set up again, especially if you have to take it from place to place in a bag, you know, like, you know, and I'm going from point A to point B because I got to go somewhere and use it.
If this is the worst thing you encounter every day, you're having a great life.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets kind of frustrating sometimes, and
well,
because I expect, you know, I'd like it to work all the time.
Well, you know, by the way, those of us who are sighted, we'd like it to work all the time, too. Believe me, for every time-saving and wonderful ability that every computer, every tablet, every phone has, the other side of that is there are hours of frustration among all of us. So it's both the biggest time saver and time waster known to man. And you, whether you're sighted or not, that's true.
Yeah, you got a point there.
You know, we're still in the dark ages of digital. This is like the cave days. You know, these days we come into a room, of course it doesn't matter in your case because you're blind, but for the rest of us, we turn on the lights, we expect the lights to come on. But you know, 150 years ago, no one expected that. Even in the places
that
were wired, because it's a rollout. It takes time. You know, 100 years from now, this will be like a utility. But for us, we're in the pioneer days, and so all sorts of things go wrong.
You're right on point there.
So, you know, I mean, that's the discovery of digital, which really the entire movement of the Industrial Revolution has been leading up to digital. And as I've mentioned many times, that's the game changer. The only other discovery ever that big in humankind existence was the wheel. The wheel changed cave days completely. I'm assuming fire is divine intervention, so we'll leave that there. But after the wheel, life as the caveman knew it had changed dramatically. Well, with us, that's what digital is going to do. It changes society completely. And those of us who are in the years of the rollout to that, it's lined with frustration. And that's going to be the rest of my lifetime and maybe yours too. But just be glad you're a pioneer and don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm pioneering. I've been doing it, you know, I've been doing it quite a bit. I've been, because I rely on the internet a lot. I use it a lot for my work.
Yeah, well, just take it in stride. And sometimes it'll be a hassle, and sometimes it'll be frustrating, and sometimes it'll be wonderful. And that's the way it will always be.
Yes. And I was going to tell Tubby something, too. You can buy these cassette tapes for a cassette player, and this is anybody else. They have alcohol on them.
Those are wet tapes. I know that. But she was looking for a VCR, and I told her what to do. So, yes.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Thanks for calling, David.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, 888-876-5593. But, yeah, every time you're forced to learn a new app, I mean, that is not a happy day. We are old dogs. We don't like new tricks. And a doctor friend of mine recently wanted me to convert a program that was only for PCs to his Mac, which of course I did. But as I was leading up to it, I was like, oh no, I don't want to learn this. I do not want to learn this. But of course, you know, after you do, it's like, oh, I can use this again. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is just such a terrific record. Yeah, rarely are there big hits that I say how wonderful, but I never get tired of Suavecito. Malo, and Jorge Santana's bando. He was not the lead singer. The lead singer of that was Arcelio Garcia, who would have turned 79 yesterday. Born in Puerto Rico, the family moved to the Mission District in San Francisco when he was a kid, and he was the lead singer and the face of Malo. Died in 2020, had a stroke in Fresno, 74. Jorge, by the way, also died 2020, natural causes, 68 years old. But Carlos Santana, still with us, turned 78. All right, so now, John reminded me, said, you know, Ruth's on hold. I forgot about her. Ruth, I'm so sorry. I forgot all about you. So
don't apologize. Well, no,
I have to. Okay. So hang on. We've only got a minute left, and I'm not going to tie you to a minute. But after the news, we'll come back to it, and I will not forget about you. I promise. Stay right there. All right,
okay,
so
thank you.
All right, so Ruth will stay there. It's my fault entirely. I'm telling you, I can't hold a thought hostage. Then we got John in Covington and Sherry in Naperville, and Karen's in Chicago, and Jim is in New Hampshire. All right, so plenty to do next hour right here on WGN Radio.
All the things that she does. When I wake up in the morning, I fix you something to eat. Before I bring the coffee, she fell back asleep. But when I look into those big brown eyes, that's when I come to realize I love that woman. I love that. Things got tough, trying to make ends meet. She was working two jobs to keep us off the street. You know, I never heard her once complain. We'll be together through the joy and pain. I love that woman. I love that lady. I love that woman.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's James Holvin, the guy who wrote all those wonderful songs for the Buckinghams. And he just put out a EP CD, Working Man, and Love That Lady is the fourth cut on it. Man, that could be a big beach record, I'll tell you what. But already it is number 12 on the UK Soul Chart, Breakers, yes. And I bet you that's going to rise even higher. But yeah, I think there's beach music in its future if it isn't there already. So yeah, I like that. We'll have to have James on to talk about that and everything else. Such a talented writer. All right, now, I didn't forget her. Well, I did before. But if John hadn't reminded me, I probably never would have remembered. But we were talking with Ruth. She was moving on to a new topic, and I interrupted her. Well, Ruth, the floor is yours.
Oh, it's a good thing my phone didn't disconnect. We'll pick up where I left off, and it's on the same topic, because I don't think I'm going to go into the next one about the big mistake, which is a wonderful, charming story. Anything positive is absolutely wonderful. So back to the horses. Now, I did do a Ben Franklin just a few months ago for a horse rescue. So I thought that was kind of interesting that I was now on the wavelength to get a request in for a bet. You betcha. And this time again, twice in my lifetime, I had a sure thing. And so you can't fool me. Nobody pulls wool over my eyes and things like that. So the horses for the recent Churchill Downs, I knew they were going to win, and I had one time requested someone to do me a go and place bets for them, and she was very good at picking horses, just a few bucks to Sportsman's Park, and I turned her down because it was illegal, you know, and I thought to myself later, I needed the money and it would have helped. She was going to pay me a few bucks, but I turned her down, not wanting to be around the racetrack crowd and
the bookie thing and all that kind of thing. But in this case, these two horses were going to win, and if I were to place my bet, I would have an interesting way to use that money. So back to Golden Mystery. Someone calls WLIP, and he gives a tip. You can look this up when that horse was running. It wasn't one of the Triple Crown races. And a German horse. One was a Friday, Golden Mystery. Saturday was the German horse. So I want to do $20. And I know absolutely nothing about this. So I go all the way from bus to bus to bus to Fox Lake to get to the bank to get $20. Wind up at the OTB after 7 o'clock. It's too late. So I go back home, and then I find $20 ticked away for months in a little pouch or thing, and I didn't need to go all the way out. I had a $20. I didn't want to ask anybody for $20, borrow me. I didn't want to be frivolous to tell them I was going to bet $20 on a horse race that I knew was a sure thing. Because, you know, we've all heard that before. It's a sure thing. So the next day I did go back and put $2 on the German horse, and I won $77. And the lady said to me, "I hope we see you again." Yeah. And I go, "I don't think so." Ah. So the OTB is now closed in Waukegan. I found this out right after my wanting to get to do the sovereignty and the journalism horse. I love the Titanic one because of the necklace that the movie she throws the blue topaz back into the ocean where the soulmates come from. So anyway, I didn't get my avenue of approach on for sure. It was a sure thing. But it was interesting that the lady goes, "I hope we see you again." And I go, "I don't think so." And that came true. Well, I never went back to the racetrack. And I get it 10 years ago, Golden Mystery one. Maybe, I don't remember the exact, it was in October.
Well, see, this is a reason to have a computer because you can bet online now.
That's what I found out. Yeah. I found that after I told a couple of people, and I said, well, now, if Raleigh had ever given out the information the way you do on all these other different circumstances, I would have been more knowledgeable for this particular serendipity event, and a little bit more money would have been in my pocket. But back to the horse and the rescue thing, no good deed goes unnoticed. And I thought, well, this was a second chance, you know, that I would make a bet on something. Like I told that lady at the OTB, I don't think you're going to see me again, because I just would not be the person to make a habit of gambling or betting or doing something that was illegal, you know, and that kind of thing. But I found it an interesting story for the fact that the first time it was somebody that called the radio station and said that they had this tip. The guy never called back again, you know, to another horse or another thing or anything. I simply turned the radio on and happened to hear the horses that were running in that first one. And horse names, I find them so fascinating. I knew that American Pharoah was going to win that Triple Crown, but I never went in any way to go and bet on it. But I think that I would like to name horses, and I mentioned this to you maybe 2 or 3 years in a row whenever the Kentucky Derby and the three trifectas come, whatever they are. Now my new horse name is R2-D2 and Maharachi.
Okay, well now, are they running?
No, that's just my name.
You don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of horse racing all over the world.
I know. It's possible that somebody has named a horse Maharachi or R2-D2. Don't you think that's kind of a really incredible name?
Well, yes, there absolutely are R2-D2. So yes, I'll have to.
You've heard about them already, huh?
Yeah. So we'll find out about that indeed. And the other one, Maharaja. What is this other one?
Maharachi. That's the Hispanic Maharachi. You know, the players, the trumpet players. the Maharaji music.
Okay.
It's just so fabulous, yeah.
Okay. All right.
They got Maharaji divas out there, but the guys are the first originators for the Maharaji bands. All right. Okay. I'm surprised, Arizona,
yeah,
you would know.
It's Maharaji. Well, it's Mariachi is why, but that's okay.
I'm not doing it.
M-A-R-I-A-C-H-I. Mariachi, I know. Yes, so that's why I was wondering. All right. Well,
all right.
Very good. Okay, thanks.
God bless you, Tubby, right, and your family, and I'll call back on the big mistake on another day.
Okay, sounds
That's
good.
An
thanks.
Interesting story.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right, so yeah, Mariachi, of course. Well, we'll have to find out. I would not be surprised if there were racehorses named Mariachi or R2D2. So we'll find them all. And yeah, FanDuel, there's a number of sites. You can do this right from the privacy of your very own bedroom or anywhere else. So 888-876-5593. John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I just wanted to say I called last a week ago, in fact, and it was like the last 5 minutes of the show, and you said you called my name and everything. I could hear you talking, and you wanted okay. me to talk, but I was trying to talk. And you couldn't hear me. You acted as though...
Okay, well, that happens. That's the
problem. Yeah, I know. I just want... But the reason I kind of brought it up is because I broke my streak last week in the Derby because for four straight years, I picked the horse, one of the horses that ran third. I always bet with that many horses in the race, I always bet just to show because I don't know what's a lot of money to you or anybody out there, but I bet $40 to show, and my horse ran fourth, and the name of it was Final Gambit.
Ah.
Now, no big deal, ran fourth. I don't even get a kiss from an ugly woman for fourth. But I'll tell you this. He was flying. This horse was flying at the end of the race. And a week from Saturday is the Preakness. And yes. I think I'm going to bet across the board on the Final Gambit. And I'd say if I get 8-1 odds on that horse, I'll be happy. But that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Preakness Stakes as we speak, and let's see if we can get these odds there so that you know. So why am I not seeing Final Gambit?
I wouldn't think they'd be out yet.
Oh, yeah, no, they are. They absolutely are. I'm seeing
okay.
I'm seeing what the odds are. So, the odds for the Preakness are... I see Journalism, Rodriguez, Sandman, Clever Again, River Thames, American Promise, Gozger, Caldera, Heart of Honor, Pay Billy. So, I don't see your horse.
I guess he's not in. Oh, well, but, yeah, I'll have to try another one.
Yeah, well, Pay Billy and Heart of Honor and Caldera are all paying 30-1.
Well, being visually impaired now, yeah. I can only, well... I mean, I have people that help me, but on my own, I just go by breathing.
Yeah.
I go by breathing a lot. Or one of my sighted friends, here's a tip for everybody that likes to handicap in any of these races, three-year-old races, what I used to do is go back and look at their two-year-olds and take the horse in the race as a two-year-old that had the quickest time at a mile.
All right.
And, yeah, as a two-year-old. And then bet him in these Derby races, or whatever, these Triple Crown races. But that's all I got.
All right. Well, good to talk to you. Thanks.
You got a point there.
All right. Good deal. All right. So, by the way, there won't be a Triple Crown this year because Sovereignty's not running in the Preakness. So I think she'll run a Belmont, but not the Preakness. All right. So Mariachi is a five-year-old gelding, raised from 22 to 25. So I don't know if she's still running, but that's Mariachi. All right. So since Ruth is naming them, now we know. All right. We've got Sherry in Naperville. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. I have like 5 or 6 things to talk about, but one of them is Mark from Aurora, who either asked for charts or Star Trek trivia, I think.
Yes, what about him?
Okay. Well, I don't know how blind he is, but
at this point, completely.
Okay. And the tools, like if he's going to look something up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. But at any rate, there's WTTW has Pioneers of Television, and they have science fiction, and I think you might be interested in it. It has like Star Trek, Lost in Space, and just to listen to it if you can. You don't have to watch it.
Great.
I haven't seen it yet, but there's like I'm just playing old WTTW, a lot of upcoming episodes.
Good.
And it's on like WTTW.com.
Yep.
And I think it's
you don't need to do any of that. Just on any search
engine.
Any search engine. Just
dash
like,
live. No, because no, I had a hard time.
All right, well, I had no trouble. And so whatever trouble you had, I had no trouble.
Well, if he wants to, he can ask you.
Yeah, WTTW, Pioneers of Television Science Fiction. Just write those words, it comes right up. It's the first thing you see.
Oh, okay. And also, what was the other thing? Yesterday, did you play like 3 or 4 songs from Howard and the White Boys?
I played 2.
This is for me.
I played 2.
Huh?
I played 2.
And one of them, I was smiling from ear to ear. I heard on one of the songs, like spoons, like the ham bone spoon thing.
All right, I don't know what to say about that.
Oh, you don't know about that?
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care.
But they would play spoons on their knees.
Okay, I have no
two
idea.
Spoons and. Yeah, and I smiled because we had someone when I worked at Taco Bell during my in Naperville during my college years, like for summer jobs, and one of the guys came from Atlanta, Georgia, I think.
But, all right, Sherry, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Just stay where you are, and we'll get to Sherry. But I know I'll be coming up to top of the hour, and I see I've got a first-time caller. And so I always defer to them because they never wait through the news. It's just the way it is. And Steve is a first-time caller. He's driving on Highway 43. So, Steve, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, Raleigh.
What's up?
Yeah, I heard you mention Cicero Blake a few times.
I love Cicero Blake. Absolutely. Sad Feeling
That's
is one
the
of the
one.
Sad Feeling is one of the best records ever.
He's from Chicago.
Of course he is.
Okay, that's the same Cicero Blake I know. I used to work with him.
Oh, he's
back in the
Sad Feeling was
70s.
One of the best records ever.
I never heard any of his stuff.
I'll play it for
you. He used to tell us.
Yeah, it's huge.
He was going to be a star.
Right. Well, he should have been. He absolutely should have been. And he's terrific. And he was on the west side of Chicago, originally from Mississippi. But he had some amazing songs. And my favorite was Sad Feeling. And I will play it for you right after the commercial break or the news, whichever comes first. But he did a number of things. He was on a few local Chicago labels. And just a wonderful, wonderful artist.
Yeah, I know. Once played the Blues Fest in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
That was quite a few years back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I worked with him for about 2 years.
Yeah, well, terrific, terrific act. Should have been a household name, but unfortunately never was. But he was on a number of things, including Brunswick, and he was on Renee and stuff like that. But, man, Sad Feeling, that's the one, and I'm going to play it for you next.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling.
I'm going to request it.
Okay.
Johnny Cash, Ira Hayes.
What, Johnny Cash?
Ira Hayes. okay. Drunken Indian.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I was afraid you were saying. All right. We'll get your sister, old Blake, first, then we'll try for that. Thanks.
Okay, thank
you. Appreciate it. All right, so it'll be right after the news, and we will hear Sad Feeling. Don't have to twist my arm to play that. And then we'll get back to Sherry on WGN Radio. Cicero Blake, there he is, and so underrated, and I just can't say enough about him. So hopefully Steve, who used to work with him, enjoyed that. A Sad Feeling was on Marvelous 1965, and yes, Chicago as it gets. So a fine song all the way around. Now that we got that out of the way, we are back to Sherry in Naperville. So sorry about the interruption.
No, that's fine. I thought there was that other guy coming back in. But anyway, also, Cubby, who was looking for that show about Brazil or whatever, I do know, and I've been trying to look it up, but my laptop went cooperating and sluggish. They do have a Brazil show, and I don't know who's who or what's what, but for WGCB, and I want to say it's like on Sunday, but I'm not positive.
It's probably like SOB, but yeah, Tubby found her show.
Oh, she did.
Oh yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Let me take up speaker.
Yeah, that would have helped from the start. All right. And we
yeah,
really
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. So what else?
And for Jim in Richmond, uh-huh. Even though he's flummoxed with everything that's going on, I do know that my dad sang in a barbershop chorus called West Town Chorus, and with three friends from when he worked at AT&T/Illinois Bell. But one of the guys was blind. He ended up blind later. Don was his first name. And I remember one time he told me that he, through whatever disability or whatever, he could have someone come over to his home and read either, and his wife could see, and she paid the bills, that he could
have them come over to his home, and they would read whatever newspaper.
Right, but you know that's a while ago, believe me, and that's so unnecessary at this point. So
maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Forget about it now. Just forget about it.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to help.
Right.
Sort of.
No, that doesn't. But I appreciate it.
All right. Well, because he seems like he's grasping.
Yeah, but that won't help. It really won't. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, always good to hear from you, Sherry. Anything else real quickly?
Not really, but okay. I did want to mention that everything you played in the last week or two, like 90% of them, I have heard the songs.
Oh, good.
Versus like Trivia Night, well, I have no clue.
All right.
So thank you and your listeners for requesting the ones that I'm familiar with, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
All right. Well, thanks.
All right, you take care have a great weekend.
You too. Appreciate it. You know, I played that Cicero Blake Sad Feeling, which was written by Barrett Strong, by the way. Now, there is a mystery, as far as I'm concerned, because that same backing track, you remember you just heard Sad Feeling. Well, we'll refresh your memory here a moment. So you recall it. Now, as I was saying, same backing track 2 years later comes out on this, and it's just the backing track that's the same, but comes out on this, and the interesting thing is no word of a credit to a Barrett Strong. No, this is written by Ken Griffin. Really? If this isn't the same backing track, I give up.
All is said and done, will you be the only one? Will you let me be a part of your everlasting love?
How many times?
Come on, it is the absolute same backing track. So I've never found out the mystery of that. I haven't looked too hard as far as that goes either. Probably should. But Leo Austell had Twin Stacks, which was the label there. And, of course, Marvelous was the Lena Brothers. So I don't know. I mean, Leo might have been involved in that, too, as far as I know. But so that'll remain a mystery. As Jim from Richmond gives us an update. So how's your sister?
She's still in recovery. And there's a little background thing to that. I think I'm being boxed out because I might have said something, or I might have even said something on your show, because they're not giving me any, won't let me talk to her or anything. So that's what's going on, and I'm not very happy.
Well, I can't imagine that they listen to this show.
Well, my sister who had in the hospital, she listens.
Okay.
So, but... You know, I go, can I talk to her? Oh, no, you can't. She's in recovery. And then I go, you don't have the passcode. And I go, well, can I get that? No, we're not giving it to you. I said, well, she's got her cell phone. Oh, it's too far away. So, you know, from the bed. So I just gave, I'm giving up. I'll find out if ramifications come from this tomorrow. I just wanted to change the subject. I wanted everyone to know that we're talking about horses, that every horse in that Kentucky Derby race were all descendants of Secretariat.
Huh, that's a great piece of trivia. How about that?
They said that right on the radio the race.
Interesting.
And then, and last, I have one question. Do you ever hear of Merlin?
Well, in what context? Yes, by the way.
An app, because it's supposed to be an app for you to, you know, ask Merlin what bird is that singing.
Yeah, Merlin bird ID. Yes, I am very well aware of that.
So there is one, so I can find my friend to look it up for me.
Are you a bird? Are you a bird watcher?
No, I sit out during the day.
Okay.
And I can't see them, but I even have baby birds in my birdhouse. Yep. I have baby birds in the tree next door. And right. I have all these beautiful calls going on. And I ask Siri, who's this? And then she goes, I don't know that song.
Right, right. You know? But no, that's not it. All right, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which is just world-renowned, they put this app mm-hmm. out, and it is Merlin Bird ID. And yes, it okay. absolutely is. And so, by all means, get somebody to put it on your phone.
Right, because like I said, I sit out for a couple yeah. hours every day.
Yeah.
And they're right there in front of me, and I can't see them.
Well, you'll hear them. Now you'll know. Yes, absolutely.
And let people know I am not grasping. I'm doing very well
I think
with all my
well.
Apps
there you
and
go.
Stuff. I'm not grasping. Yeah.
And you don't need anybody to read to you. I agree. All right.
Right.
So, yes.
Thank you very much and for everything, and have a wonderful weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, so yeah, Merlin runs on iPhones and on Androids, and it is a part of Cornell Lab. So there, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And let's see, okay, I think we have time to talk to Karen in Chicago. Hey, Karen, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. This is in reference to the person who was talking about the currency reader.
Uh-huh.
There is one. It's called an iBill. And when they first came out, the National Library Service sent one to all of their readers. Well, now you can even purchase some, like, independent living aids, whatever. They're very small. You put the bill in endwise. It has to be straight. You have to, and you push a little button, and it tells you 1, 5, 20, whatever it is.
Mhm. All right.
And I have two of them. I lost one, and I couldn't be without it, so I got another one. And then I found the other one again, but it does work very well, and you can. Like I say, it's real little. You can carry it in the pocket of your purse. I never go anywhere without mine because you never know when you're going to make a mistake, and you can always check.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, you know, I have heard about that, and I don't know why I didn't think about it, but yes, I have heard about it, and it sounds like it's indispensable. So thanks for reminding me, and thanks for calling.
Yeah. It is to me. I just don't go anywhere without it. Thank you for taking my call, I hope I helped someone.
Absolutely. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, good deal. So we'll get to Jim in New Hampshire, and he'll close it out for the week coming up on WGN Radio.
Ira hates, Ira hates. Call him drunken Ira Hayes. He won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian, nor the Marine that went to war. Gather round me, people. There's a story I would tell. About a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the land of the Pima Indian, a proud and noble band who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land. Down their ditches a thousand years, the waters grew Ira's people's crops, till the white man stole their water rights and the sparkling water stopped. Now Ira's folks were hungry, and their land grew crops of weeds. When war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over and Old Glory raised,
Among the men who held it high was the Indian, Ira Hayes.
Call GN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There it is. Promised I'd play it, The Ballad of Ira Hayes. And what's most interesting about it is not that Johnny Cash recorded it on Columbia in 1964, but it's who wrote it, Peter LaFarge. And the name probably means nothing to you, but he was big in folk music circles until he died at about 34. I think he had a stroke in New York, but he was his father had been an anthropologist, Pulitzer Prize winner, by the way, and his mother was an heiress, so there were lots of money. They moved to Santa Fe, and then they got divorced, and he grew up partly in New Mexico, but partly in Colorado. Did not really like his stepfather. Loved being with his father and the cultures of Native Americans, which is what his father was sort of specializing in his study. And later, they became estranged. And I don't know what happened with he and his father, but the bottom line is he was basically out of that family. He was on the radio in Fort Collins, Denver area, and stuff like that. And the Korean War comes along. He's a young guy. Because he was born in like 42 or so. No, that's wrong. 31. I'm sorry, 31. So Korean War, he would have been about 20. And bottom line is he went. Well, when he comes back, he gets to New York and starts to become interested in music, and was working with Big Bill Brunzi and Josh White, and starting to become a folk music singer in the Village, and was contracted with Columbia for a while when they were picking up a lot of folk artists. And Pete Seeger had a hootenanny at Carnegie Hall, where Bob Dylan was there and Peter LaFarge was there. And he was starting to really gain some real credibility there with things like The Ballad of Ira Hayes, and then sadly died. And in fact, MGM was planning an album at the time he was found dead in his apartment from a stroke. This was never, as far as I know, an autopsy. Could have been an overdose of Thorazine, which supposedly Johnny Cash introduced to him as a sleep aid. So that was the end of Peter LaFarge. But it was an interesting time, and interesting relationships, too, that have nothing to do with the song. But I've only got about 4 minutes left, and I want to give them all to Jim in New Hampshire. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, how you doing there, Riley?
Can't complain. How about yourself? What's up?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm glad you played that song because, it reminds me of, how much I really miss the Road Gang on WWF.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, when Charlie Douglas was in his prime before he went to Nashville.
Before he went to Nashville, yeah.
When he'd do the show sometimes from the truck stop in Slidell.
Union 76.
That's right.
Slidell, yeah.
You sure. Betcha. Yeah. Yeah. Those trucking shows were so great. And, of course, the Truckin' Bozo of WLW, but, of course.
Oh, yeah, WLW.
Right. And Bill Mack and Big John Trimble, mm-hmm. First at KGA and then at WRVA.
And he was at KWKH one time.
Yeah. Right. And Billy Parker at KVOO, who displaced the Nightcaps.
Oh.
And and Billy Cole at WHO, and mm-hmm. Those shows were just great, and
just tremendous.
Truck and Tom Miller at WBT, even later when MAQ signed on, Fred Sanders at MAQ. I mean, they were.
Yes.
I don't know why the trucking shows ended. They made money.
Yeah, sure. And the thing, thing about MAQ is, I always say they ran JJD out of that format.
Oh, of course. Oh, they're absolutely. And of course, as I've said many times, MAQ sort of revolutionized what was going on in country radio, because prior to that, having a 99 record playlist wasn't terribly unusual. And of course, JJD not only was sloppy and had a large list, but the big problem was it was run down at sundown Salt Lake City time because of KSL. So
right. Right. Yeah. Right. And then they would always tell people, now to your dial to WJJDFM.
Yeah, right.
Or,
well,
you know, country music throughout the night.
And of course, that would have worked, given it a few more years later. But at the time, you know, mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. didn't mean much. But yeah, I miss those trucking shows. And initially...
Oh, I do too.
Oh, yeah. Initially, yeah. they didn't make money. And the reason they didn't was because right. the sales teams of the station, they'd get a lot more money selling Morning Drive. And I remember well, before the Truck and Bozo, WLW tried a trucking show earlier with Jack Reno. And this was like 74. And I remember Charlie Murdoch bitching to me that, you know, I just can't sell it. I said, well, that's because you're letting your sales team sell it. Well, yeah, they're my sales team. I said, well, forget it. Here's what you need to do.
Yep.
You need to hire a specialized sales guy. And the only thing he's allowed to sell is overnight radio. And he said, well, yeah, well, all I'm going to get is like Kenworth or something. I said, no, you're not going to sell trucking. What you're going to do right. is sell men 25 to 54. And I said, you have right. your sales guy who we cannot touch daytime. So you don't have otherwise you're going to have a revolution in the sales department. And he did it.
That's for sure.
And wound up getting people like Sears and others right away. And that was the real key, mm-hmm. having a dedicated salesperson who only sold those trucking shows.
Now, was Nick Young part of that also? Okay. Because I thought he was, you know, he did some of that trucking show sometimes on LW.
Well, but, after Jack Reno left, and I forget what the issue was there, but they did a number mm-hmm. of things. In fact, a guy who later went on to television who'd been big in Denver, I'm trying to think of the guy's name right now, but was doing it. But John says, I can't even continue to talk, so you got to call me next week and we'll pick it up right there. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. So, I'll pick it up. Harry Smith, that was his name. All right, so we'll pick it up there next week. Next live show is Monday Night Trivia. Tomorrow night is a replay of last Monday Night Trivia. I think there was a straggler, so you may want to listen if you missed Monday Night Trivia. But until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show fun to do. So keep it up. We'll talk to you Monday. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.